Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Episodio 6. Hello, Reza.
Hey, Craig. How are things?
Things are pretty good. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, not bad. And you?
Yep, pretty good. Let's get cracking. How do you say that in Spanish? Get cracking. Vamos allá. Vamos empezar.
Vamos allá.
Vamos allá con la gramática esta semana.
The grammar, eh? Well, I want to focus on the word can and the negative can't. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question, Craig. Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can.
Can you speak Russian?
No, I can't.
You can't speak Russian?
I can't speak Russian.
But you can speak Spanish?
Badly. My Spanish is terrible, but I can get by. I can manage with my Spanish. Can you speak Spanish?
Yes, more or less. More or less.
Craig, can you speak Valenciano?
A little bit. Un poquet.
Un poquet.
Un poquet. Un poco. Un poquet. Can you play the piano, Craig?
No, I can't. I can't play any musical instruments.
Can you sing?
Only in the shower.
The Mickey Mouse song. I've heard you sing. I've heard you sing that before.
I can't sing. I'm not gifted with a nice voice. Not okay. At all. Can you sing? Because you're very musical.
I used to be in a choir, actually.
Really?
Yeah. But nah, I must have lost it. In the meantime, I've had a few ducados and possibly a few carajillos, and that hasn't helped.
Can you play any musical instruments?
I can play the violin. I used to play a lot better, but now I'm not great, to be honest. But I can.
So you can read music?
Yes, I can. Uh-huh. Now, Craig, you will have noticed that we've been using can and can't for different reasons. Listeners, if you recall, I first said to Craig, can I ask you a question? I used can. Can I ask you a question? Now, don't worry, there's nothing wrong with the microphone. I'm not making a big effort to pronounce the word can. Mm. I'm not saying, can I ask you a question? I'm saying, can I ask you a question? Because that's the normal way to pronounce the word can in a question. Quickly, there's no emphasis on it. And Craig, then, he can answer me, yes, you can, or no, you can't. Now, in his answer, he will stress the word can or can't. So, when you've got a question, or even a positive form, like...
I can swim.
I can swim. You don't stress the word can. It's a weak form. Can you swim? I can swim. But in your answer, do stress the word can, if it's positive, or can't, if it's negative. Say, yes, I can. Or, no, I can't.
La respuesta corta se pone más énfasis en la pronunciación de can y can't.
Can y can't.
Yes, I can.
Exactly. And the word can't is always stressed. I can't swim. Always stress the negative can't. But in a positive sentence, I can swim, don't stress the word can. Stress the verb after it. Stress the word swim. So, to recap, positive, I can swim. Negative, I can't swim.
Have you noticed, Reza, with Spanish speakers, it's very difficult for them to identify the positive can and the negative can't. And I think it's because most native speakers don't pronounce the T at the end of the negative can't.
That's right, Craig. So when people say, for example, I can't swim. I don't know if I pronounced the T or not, barely. I can't swim. But you understood that as a negative because you're a native speaker. And the reason you understood it as negative, even though my pronunciation of T was not clear, letter T, because I stressed the word. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't swim. So because there was stress on can't, you knew, it must be negative because he stressed it. If I had said to you, I can swim, that would be positive because I didn't stress the word can, I stressed the word swim, so you would immediately know that to be a positive sentence. This is where foreigners often confuse native speakers. Because they wrongly stress the word can, we think they're saying a positive sentence, but Sorry, we think they're saying a negative sentence, I should say, but they're trying to be positive, so it's very confusing.
Absolutely.
So do get the stress of can and can't write. Now, Craig, what about...
Otra cosa.
Yeah.
Un momento. Otra cosa. Lo que digo yo a mis alumnos muchas veces, el can, la pronunciación de can y can't. Can't tiene el sonido vocal más largo.
Exactly.
Aunque no escuchas la T final... Mm. Puedes saber que es negativo por lo largo que es el vocal. Can.
That's right.
Yes, I can. No, I can't.
It's a longer vowel sound. It's
the same sound as car.
Yep.
Car.
Yeah. That's so, right. It's a very important tip as well. Now, so there's the pronunciation and the basic use of those words. But what about the function of the word can or can't? Well, I'm sure most of the listeners already know that we call these words like can, can't, could, couldn't, should, ought, modal verbs. Modal verbs are tricky because they tend to have more than one meaning. I started our conversation, Craig, by asking you, can I ask you a question? I was asking for permission.
Puedo.
Permission, yeah? And you gave me your permission. And then, if I want to ask you, can you swim? Or can you speak Russian? Or, can you play the piano? I'm not asking about permission. I'm asking about your ability.
Ability.
Are you able to speak Russian? Are you able to play the piano? That's also can. So can be permission, or it can be ability. Also, Craig, you know, we've been speaking for quite a while now. If you don't mind me saying so, I'm getting a bit thirsty. Can I have another cup of tea, please?
Yes, of course, Reza. I'll put the kettle on.
Thank you very much. I just requested another cup of tea. Craig makes a very good cup of tea, by the way, listeners. It's thirsty work, speaking all day on podcasts. I requested a cup of tea. Can is for requests. Can I have a cup of tea, please?
So you think that I can make a good cup of tea? I have the ability to make a good cup of tea.
Uh-huh. And Craig, I'm a little bit peckish.
What's peckish?
A bit hungry. Tengo hambrito. Hambrito. Peckish, a little bit of hunger there. Anything to go with that tea?
Do you fancy a biscuit?
Aha. Uh-huh. So you're asking me if I want a biscuit. You're saying, do you fancy a biscuit? Or you could have said, can I offer you a biscuit?
Reza, can I offer you a biscuit?
Now that you mention it, Craig, I don't mind if I do. Yes. There you go, listeners, another use of can. It's for a request, and the opposite of a request, which is an offer. Can I help you? Can I offer you a biscuit? So can request, can offer. Here's another use of can. Here's a sentence. John can be very cold sometimes, but not always. Sometimes he's friendly. Let me repeat that. John can be very cold sometimes. But not always. Sometimes he's friendly. So can there. He can be very cold. That means there's a possibility.
Or it has a tendency to be.
Yes, but the word can shows that it's only a possibility. Sometimes you meet him and he's friendly. Often when you meet him, he's unfriendly. So it's possible he will be unfriendly when you meet him. He can be unfriendly. Let's take Valencia, where we live. As you know, Valencia is a sunny Mediterranean city. However, it can be wet here at times, especially when we get la gota fría.
And it can be quite cold this time of year. Early in the morning, after the sun goes down, it can be a bit chilly.
But it can be hot. It can be cold and it can be hot.
It can be very
hot. In November, they're both possible. There's a possibility of both. So can also shows that something is a possibility. The opposite of can, we said, is can't, the short form of cannot. What about if I said to you, I received a postcard from Cuba, but it's unsigned. This unsigned postcard from Cuba, it can't be from Bob because he's in England.
And it can't be from your mum because she lives in Belfast.
Exactly. It's from someone who's in Cuba at the minute, so it can't be my mum and it can't be Bob.
Who can it be from?
I have no idea because it's unsigned. So the word can't, there the negative, is showing impossibility. Well, I know it can't be my mum. I know it can't be Bob. They're eliminated from my my possibilities. They are impossible. Can't, impossibility.
So can't can also be used for the function of possibility or probability. That's another use of can't.
Exactly. So, Craig, they're the main uses of can and can't. There are a couple more specialist things, but I don't want to overdo it. I don't want to give too much information out for today because it will only confuse listeners. So let's leave can and can't there for today.
Okay. Moving on to vocabulary, vocabulary corner. I thought this week we'd look at clothes. Especially the differences between American English and British English when we speak about clothes.
Can I just interrupt you a minute to say something?
Of course.
Can I compliment you on your rather attractive linen shorts?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, I'm wearing shorts. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing rather dirty-looking jeans, I'm afraid.
You're wearing jeans. Trousers. Now, that's a British English word.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what the Americans call trousers?
Don't they say pants?
They do. They say pants. Now, here is a possible point of confusion. Pants in American English are trousers in British English. But pants in British English are it's the underwear that you wear beneath or under your trousers.
Yeah.
However, in American English, pants are
what we call trousers.
No.
British English.
No.
Yes, in American English.
Pants in British English are shorts in American English. So an American man, wears shorts under his pants.
Okay.
Isn't that confusing?
Very confusing.
Okay. So, again, trousers, British English, pantalones. In American English, as you said, pants. But pants in British English, how do you say that in Spanish? Calzoncillos?
Calzoncillos.
Calzoncillos. Calzoncillos. So pants in British English, the underwear, in American English are shorts. And of course, shorts in British English are what I'm wearing at the moment. So I'm not...
Can I tell you, listeners, again, they're very attractive linen shorts.
I'm not
very
attractive. I'll make you the tea in a minute. You'll get your biscuit. I'm not doing this podcast in my underwear. I'm wearing shorts, which in British English are shorts in Spanish.
So how do Americans say what we call shorts in British English?
Well, here they're very boring. They just say shorts.
Uh-huh. But that could be underpants as well, then.
Correct.
It's a bit confusing.
How would you know? How would you know? You go into a shop in the US and you ask for a pair of shorts, you don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Another interesting difference in vocabulary, chaleco. Chaleco in British English would be?
Well, I'd say waistcoat.
Yeah, waistcoat. But in American English, it's a vest.
Oh.
V-E-S-T. It's a vest. So if you wear a suit, traje, in America, you'd wear a suit, possibly with a vest, but in British English, you would wear a waistcoat under your jacket. However, vest in British English is what many men wear under their shirt or under their t-shirt, which in Spanish, que lleva tirantes. I don't know if there's a special word for vest in Spanish. But it's
como una camiseta, pero sin mangas.
Sin mangas, sin con tiritas, sin mangas.
Listeners, we have to admit we don't know the word. You've caught us out.
Yeah,
camiseta sin mangas.
Send us an email and we'll check it online. But yeah, also if you do sport in the summer, you would possibly wear a vest in Britain. And for ladies wear panties in America. And knickers in the UK.
Craig, I'm a bit worried you're going to get us an X rating. Don't go much further there.
I don't usually go much further than the knickers. And tights in British English are what ladies wear under their skirt. The Spanish word would be...
Medias.
Medias, thank you. Medias are tights in British English, and in American English, pantyhose. Yeah, so American ladies wear pantyhose. And obviously, the verb to wear, you wear clothes, which is llevar o llevar puesto. He's wearing blue trousers. He's wearing a black suit. And the phrasal verb to put on, poner ropa. So in the morning, I wake up and I put on my t-shirt. I put on my clothes. I get dressed in the morning.
So Craig, it's first you put on the clothes, and then after that, you're wearing them. So you exactly. put them on first, and when they're on, you're wearing them.
Yeah, first I put the clothes on, and then I'm wearing them.
And to stop wearing them, what do you do?
Another phrasal verb.
Oh, what's that?
Take off.
Take off.
I take off my clothes before I go to bed, and I take off my clothes before I have a shower.
Is Craig, you're going to get us an X rating with all this taking off
showers
of clothes.
And panties and vests and yeah, I know.
X-rated
podcast.
Can I just assure the listeners we are fully clothed while doing this podcast?
No,
fully clothed.
No animals have been molested during the making of this podcast.
We're fully clothed. But if you saw Craig's linen shorts, you would be find yourself provoked, let's say.
By the way, you're wearing a very nice striped t-shirt today, Reza.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes.
It's very summer. It's very, very nice. Blue, black and striped and very, very fashionable.
Thank you very much. Craig, I've got another question for you. I think you know more about American English than me. You've spent more time there. For a type of footwear, I would say trainers or training shoes. But Americans say something else, don't they?
You've put me on the spot. I nearly said pumps. But pumps in American English are high-heeled shoes that ladies wear. So maybe in Britain we'd say pumps. Sometimes as slang for training shoes. I think Americans say sports shoes.
Have I not heard a word before, something like sneakers?
Oh, sneakers. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Isn't that zapatillas deportivas?
It is. Sneakers. Are you wearing your sneakers today, Reza?
Yeah. Yep.
Are you wearing your sneakers?
Sure am.
Reza, what's the phrasal verb for this episode?
The phrasal verb for today is set off.
Set off.
Now, the word set... Listeners may think they're not that familiar with the word set. However, let me tell you, if you were to look at the word set in a dictionary, you would find that it is an extremely common word in English.
Yeah, there are many pages of
many
set
pages
in the dictionary.
Many, many pages. It has many, many meanings. Today, we're just going to focus on the phrasal verb set off and a few of its meanings. So, set off is very commonly used for journeys. To set off on a journey means to begin the journey. For example, we set off to Benidorm at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's when we started our journey, set off.
Because we're recording this podcast in my flat at the moment, and you arrived here, you got here at 11 o'clock.
That's right.
And you live in the center of Valencia, and I live at the beach.
At the beach.
So mm-hmm. What time did you set off?
I set off about 35 minutes before I arrived.
35 minutes. You set off about 25 past 10?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's set off. Start the journey. Another meaning of set off is the general meaning of to activate something. For example, I accidentally set off the alarm.
Right.
I hit the alarm button accidentally and ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, I set off the alarm. I activated it.
Have you seen these young kids running along the street in big cities hitting cars on purpose? They hit cars, they push cars to set off the car alarm.
Just for fun?
No, just for fun.
Wow.
They set off the car alarms by hitting the cars as they ran past.
Viewers, don't do that. We do not endorse that at home. Another meaning of set off is to start an emotion. I better give you an example for this. This is quite tricky. My sister often cries when she sees a picture of her old friend who died many years ago. The picture sets her off.
Mm.
The picture sets off because her friend's dead now and they were very close. So the picture starts an emotion in her. It sets her off.
It starts her crying. Yeah. Es un ejemplo de cuando puedes poner el objeto entre el verbo y el partículo. Porque no puedes decir set off her. Tienes que decir it sets her off.
Yes, always put the pronoun, nearly always, sorry, put the pronoun in the middle. Her in the middle with right. phrasal verbs. Another meaning of set off, not so common perhaps, is to make a good accompaniment or background for something. Let me give you an example sentence. The white background really sets off the figure in the picture. So if you can imagine a figure, a person, a single person in a picture, and behind them it's only white. So the white background really sets off the lone figure. It makes them stand out. There's another phrasal verb. Stand out. Destacarse.
Destacarse.
Yeah.
So I could say that your old jeans really set off that wonderful t-shirt you're wearing.
Exactly. They make a beautiful background to it. Thank you very much. Well, Craig, that's the phrasal verb for today. Set off.
Set off. Well, let's set off on another pronunciation journey. And because we were speaking earlier about clothes, let's look at some pronunciation connected to clothes. And let's start with the word clothes, because that's difficult for some Spanish people. Many of my students say clothes.
Yeah.
I suggest you imagine the TH is a V in the UB. So it's much easier, I think, for Spanish speakers to just say clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much clearer than clothes. So clothes. It's more difficult to put your tongue between your teeth and make the th sound of clothes. And also make it voiced from the throat. So just imagine a V there, clothes.
And they better be careful they don't say cloths. Which is another meaning, isn't it?
Trapos.
Cloths. Trapos.
Cloths.
Cloths with no E. Just C-L-O-T-H-S is the plural of cloth. Trapo. Trapos.
So there the vowel sound is different. O for cloth and O for clothes. ¿Cómo se dice traje en inglés?
How do you say traje? Suit.
Suit. So it can be a noun, a suit. I wear a suit for work. But suit can also be a verb.
Mm-hmm.
Razor.
Like, can I say for... Oh, go
that's
ahead.
Another...
Go on. You got me.
Go on. You use the example. You
well, it just came to me, Craig. I was looking at once again at your linen shorts and I thought, suits you, sir. I
suits you.
Suits you, sir.
I think your t-shirt really suits you. Yeah. It looks good on you. So if something suits you, the verb, te va bien or...
Te va bien.
Te va bien. Te va bien. It suits you. Now, don't confuse... to suit with to fit, because suit is the appearance of the clothes on the person and fit es el tamaño. So, Reza, do these shorts fit me?
They're a perfect fit. Perfect fit. They're just right for your waist. Not too big, not too small.
They're my size. So if something is your size, it fits you. And the negative, it doesn't fit you. And the question... does this fit me? Chandal. What's chandal?
Chandal, tracksuit.
Tracksuit. So another use of suit in chandal, tracksuit. Tracksuit top or tracksuit bottoms, tracksuit trousers. Another difficult word for Spanish speakers sometimes, and we've had this word before when we looked at the S sound. The shoes you wear at home in your house. Slippers. Slippers.
Not a slippers?
Not a slippers, just slippers. Where are my slippers? Under the bed. And remember, with words like jeans, glasses, shoes, slippers, plural words connected with clothes, use a pair of. Or just the plural with no article. So it's wrong to say a slippers, a shoes, a glasses. You must use just the word, where are my shoes? I bought some new slippers, or a pair of shoes, a pair of slippers, high-heeled shoes, con tacones, high-heeled shoes, and striped is another difficult word to pronounce. Reza's t-shirt is striped. Tiene rayos. Sorry.
Stripe, rayo.
Tiene rayos.
Oh, raya, sorry, raya.
Raya.
Tiene rayas. Está rayado.
Tiene rayas, a striped shirt. And finally, a man wears a shirt, but a woman wears a...
blouse?
Blouse. B-L-O-U-S-E. Another difficult word for Spanish people to pronounce sometimes. Blouse. That's a lovely blouse you're wearing.
Craig, I've heard an expression many times in my life, not often directed at me. Perhaps you'd like to explain it to the listeners. A big girl's blouse. Can you explain that to the listeners?
I think that's a northern expression. I haven't heard that for years.
Ah, well,
I
am from the north.
Big girl's blouse. Doesn't it mean a little, not effeminate, but not very manly?
That's it. So it's an expression used for men, not for women. And if you say to a man, you're a big girl's blouse, that means you're too soft.
You're too soft.
You're like a big girl. You're not a real man.
Yeah. Have a pint of beer. Don't drink these half pints. Have a big glass of beer, you big girl's blouse. Reza, what's your top tip this episode?
Well, it's a very quick tip today. Simply this, English speakers like to generally be polite and indirect. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but it's true. So my tip is use language to be polite or indirect most of the time by using negatives. Let me explain myself. Imagine someone was wearing clothes that I didn't really like and they asked me, how do I look in these clothes? Especially a girlfriend or a wife, you know? That's, we're getting into very dodgy territory. They say, how do I look in this new dress? Well, you're a very brave man if you say to that woman, you look awful. I would advise you to say something like this. Well, it isn't the best thing I've ever seen you in, for example. Or, it doesn't look that great. So I'm using a negative verb with an adjective to be polite. So rather than saying it's terrible, it's awful, I'm saying it's not great, or well, it isn't the best thing I've ever seen you in, or I've seen you looking better. Something like that. Avoiding a direct answer is very common in English.
You could say if someone cooked you some food that you didn't like, I wouldn't choose this. Perhaps, or I wouldn't...
Wouldn't be my first choice, perhaps.
It wouldn't be my first choice. I wouldn't have chosen this myself.
Yeah. Perhaps. Or another thing is it good? Did you like it? It's not bad is a very safe bet. You didn't say it was good, but you said it's not bad. That's very common in English.
I think it's also an example of how different British people are from Americans, because if you ask an American... how are you? They'd say, awesome, yeah, man, fantastic, wonderful, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And a British person would say, oh, not bad.
Not bad. Yeah, in that case, I think it's more because we don't like to seem too dramatic as well. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, I feel fantastic, say, oh, really, really not bad at all. That will do. We don't want any excess.
We want to be moderate. Understated. And
understate, yeah. Things. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that's it. That's the tip, Craig.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all of our listeners. And remember, please write a review. Escribe una pequeña reseña if you like this podcast, any goodness, on iTunes. Y así más gente pueden encontrar el podcast y podemos crecer un poco la audiencia. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
See you then.